Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. You've found episode 142 of the Radio Today programme, and it's a notable milestone for us and our lovely sponsors, Broadcast Bionics, because we can finally unveil some new imaging.
Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
So thanks and welcome, Shell Zenner, our new voiceover. This week we're focusing on the radio reunion, which saw a host of veteran DJs getting together to discuss their golden years at the Jazz Cafe in London. We'll talk to Tim Gibson, one of the organisers of the event, and we'll also find out about his day job running Adventures in Radio, a business which helps UK radio stations broadcast from exotic parts of the globe. There's news and radio moments as ever.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
And I'm pleased to say that Tim Gibson, who was one of the organisers of the radio reunion, is on the line now. Tim, how did it go?
Well, I think it turned out really well, Trevor. You know, it was great atmosphere. A lot of people turned up and it just was a great afternoon, you know.
Do a bit of name dropping for me then.
Mike Reed, Johnny Walker, Andy Peebles, Adrian Just, David Kidd Jensen, Tony Prince, Mark Goodyear.
And was it about standing around shooting the breeze and drinking Pinot Grigio, or were there actual sessions
as
well?
No, not at all. We also put on kind of a roadshow, but we had the Flirtations on stage, Phil Fearon of Galaxy, Martin Fry was there from ABC talking about his latest album with Kid Jensen on stage. Jimmy Helms was there, going to make you an offer you can't refuse, and singing on stage. And, you know, they didn't go on a lot on stage. They came on and sang, and the stage activity was kind of, you know, straight to the point and brief, and it allowed people to sit around and talk. And it was, you know, people were just moving from table to table, catching up, and just a great, great occasion.
Now, I'm the last person to criticise anyone for being nostalgic, but an event like that, people are going to say, well, it's not really part of radio's future, is it? Nothing wrong with celebrating the past, but did you get the impression that most of the people there really felt that the best days of radio are behind them?
I don't get that impression, Trev, that they think the best days of radio are behind them. I mean, everybody you speak to has good memories of the good old days, and that's always going to happen, isn't it? But, you know, when we talk about radio as it is today, I think one of the big things that comes through all the time is how radio is now controlled by a very small number of large groups. And, you know, the individual local stations don't have any flexibility as they used to have. And it's kind of the demise of local radio. That was the theme of it. It was kind of good local radio, which, of course, you know, the BBC are providing. But commercial radio doesn't do that, generally doesn't do that. And that was kind of the topic of the conversation. And, you know, and the choice of music that's not there now. You know, it's playlists are very restricted. And the other thing that came up, of course, and this was quite interesting, really, that, you know, by, I think it's 2019, 25% of the population of the UK will be over 65. And they were saying, well, who's catering for these, you know, the real rock and rollers, you know, that grew up with the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, the Who, you know, they're still around, love their music, but stations have a cut-off point of 55. And this was a good point. So maybe there's a good future, you know, out there waiting to happen.
Well, I do want to talk to you about the future and the present in radio and about your day job, which is running a business called Adventures in Radio. But let's just have a listen to some of the interviews that you recorded last weekend at the radio reunion.
Mike Reed has joined us this afternoon.
It's a bit like a weird cocktail party where you're in the middle of a conversation, somebody taps you on the shoulder, you turn around, you start another conversation. It's a bit like verbal consequences, and you end up having 20 conversations in about 10 minutes and never finish one off. What is interesting about this, of course, it's a lot of people talking about themselves to other people who don't want to know, who want to talk about themselves as well. So who knows, if anyone's got any recall on today, I'd be very, very surprised.
And I guess the listeners to Radio Today would want to know, what is Mike Reed doing in 2016?
Well, a lot of things. In the last year, well, the last 3 years, I've been doing radio 7 days a week, which is great, but it stops you doing a lot of other things. Last year, I've had 3 books out in the last 12 months. This year, we've got 3 TV series on the go. First one is Tin Pan Alley. I'm loathe to say a kind of X Factor for songwriters, because it not has a little bit more credibility than that, I think. And then we're back in Jamaica doing our Jamaica Files TV series, which is great fun. And then a history of music that I was commissioned to write and present, which will be later in the year. We've done the first episode of that, which goes back to 1250 and really brings our indigenous music through the centuries. I'm loathe to use the word folk, because people often go, oh, it's folk, is it? But also, I've used indigenous, I've used Celtic, I've used roots, and try to avoid the use of the word folk.
2016 and radio is changing all the time. What are your views on radio in the UK at the moment?
My view is that way back, that the IBA, before it went Ofcom and what have you, should have done what they did in Germany. They should have divided the country up into commercial sections. Southeast, southwest, you know, Wessex, East Midlands, West Midlands, Wales, northeast, northwest, etc. And divided them into commercial areas that would be sustainable. So many stations now aren't sustainable. There are too many stations, not enough talent, all trying to scratch a living, a lot of them failing. How could we have so many stations that all play not dissimilar music when we have such a wide range of music? It just baffles me. But it's all about money, and I think that's what they should have done. It's probably too late now, but they should have got everything in a row and divided the country up into very big, sustainable commercial areas.
Okay, joined by Kid Jensen, David Jensen.
Kid is fine. The older I get, the more I like it.
What are you called nowadays? Are you still called Kid or
yeah,
David?
Yeah, so people do. People do. I think I went through a funny phase when the radio critic Gillian Reynolds, many years ago in one of her radio columns, said, how dare a man his age call himself Kid? And I thought, maybe she's right. But actually, I should have just ignored that. Yeah, so Kid Jensen it is. And I'm here at the Jazz Cafe with you, remembering some great old days of radio on Luxembourg and, of course, Radio 1 as well.
A radio reunion says that maybe you don't see these guys too often, but I know that you do meet up with them quite frequently.
Yeah, it's Tony Prince usually tends to get people together for these kind of things. Very often I can't make it just because I'm away. I do a lot of travelling. I go to Canada quite a bit still. And so I've not made them all, but they are pretty active. I speak to Paul Burnett quite a bit. I mean, he's always been a very good friend of mine, and we work together at Luxembourg and Radio 1 and Capital Radio 2.
Paul Burnett said, it's really nice to see some of my ex-colleagues at an event that's not a funeral.
That's right, that's right. That sounds like Paul would say that. Yeah, it is nice, and there's a lot of love in the room right now.
So what are you doing?
Well, I do stuff for BBC Surrey and BBC Sussex, and I also work with Terry Underhill, an old friend of mine, who has commissioned me to do a bunch of chart programs based on the network chart that goes out on the UTV Gold Network. And so I do this show called Kid Jensen's Flashback 40.
But what do you think of the music scene today?
Well, the music's not better or worse, it's just different. The way that you access music has changed the way that people hear it, of course. Is it more or less disposable? I'm not really sure. I mean, there's a lot of good acts about. We did go through a fairly arid patch, I think, but things have improved. New music is alive and well, and there's, you know, stations like X that are, and Radio 6 Music, of course, champion the kind of music that I once would have played alongside John Beale for all those years ago on Radio 1.
Stuart Coleman joins me.
Hello, Tim. It's good to be here amongst what I would call an exalted fraternity.
Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky to see you because, of course, you spent a lot of your time living in Nashville and then New York, and now you're back in this country.
Yes, I do. I've pretty much 20 years in the States, 15 in Nashville producing country records with artists like the Osmonds. Also, I did an album with Connie Francis, crickets, all kinds of people. That was great fun. Moved to New York and lived in Manhattan for 5 years, just off 42nd Street by the United Nations, and worked there and had a blast. Survived 2 hurricanes, 33 floors up. But we moved back here, my wife and I, just 2 years ago.
Listening to radio now, what are your thoughts on UK radio?
I will turn radio on, Radio 1, and just to see what's going on there. It's very slick, it's very tight, it's very fast, but it's very forgettable. I'm sorry to say that. And the reason being, basically, everyone's trying to be ultra-trendy to keep up with the ultra-trendy sayings and goings-on within the media. Are all subjective to the computerized world we live in, which is fine, but you're chasing your own tail all the time. I love the eras, the classic rock and roll era of when killer songwriters were sending material to great artists and not expecting every artist to be automatically a Jerry Lieber or a Mike Stoller or a Burt Bacharach. There never will be. There's only so much talent in that area to go around. So in answer to your question, Tim, I would listen sporadically to Radio 1, but certainly Radio 2. There's a good slickness at Radio 2. Not necessarily every program, but when you hear Gambaccini on there, Paul Gambaccini, and the way that Tony Blackburn has really taken the Pick of the Pop show to another zenith is tremendous. Commercial radio, we live in an area where you've got this Jack FM, Sam FM network kind of thing. Some of the music's good, but it's very lacking in personality. 2, 3, 4 records in a row, okay, but you don't know what the hell they are half the time. That's an insult to the music. You need a job.
Adrian Justice turned up this afternoon to the radio reunion.
Northern Line permitting, thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely, and it's great to see you. And a lot of people wouldn't recognise you anyway, but I happened to spot you coming through the door.
Yeah, you saved me. The bouncer's going to chuck me out because they thought I jumped the queue. I just said, hello. I'm booked here, honestly. And you came along and saved me, so thank you very much.
What are you doing now in radio? Because that's what we need to know.
No, this is the thing. I'm your worst ever guest. I'm not doing anything. I just retired after 44 years of knocking my pipe out, doing like 56 comedy shows a year for the Beeb. You know, I just completely sort of burnt out and worn out, and now I just go around the garden centres in Surrey and paint my shed, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Yeah.
And don't you get any requests for you to do radio?
I get, it's very nice, and I'm always very grateful to people. I get lots of requests. I got the BBC chasing me to do some sort of Christmas shows again, but I don't have the equipment. No, I don't have the. All the old comedy bits are in the garage, and of course they're all old comedy bits. You've got to know all the new comedy bits. And I don't know who won X Factor. I don't know a lot of the modern artists. So it'd be silly me going back on air now because I just sound like an old man trying to be trendy.
Yeah,
it'd be like sort of oral dad dancing.
And not wanting to sound like an old git, you know. Yes, we are. But
yes, we are.
What are your thoughts on radio today?
I listen to talk radio. I listen to talk radio, it's LBC, talk sport sometimes. I'm not too into sport. I know all about the Premier League and the Championship now by osmosis, but the guys on in the evening are so good that you listen to them for their broadcasting skills, so I pick up all the football stuff as well. But music, I listen to Roger Day. I think, is Roger here? I know he's down to come. Some of the old ones, I used to listen to a bit of Radio 2, but now there's very little on Radio 2, but the jazz and stuff. But listen to BBC Surrey and Sussex. That's a good station. Trouble is, the BBC have fallen into the trap of independent local radio, and they're just sort of putting the same 60 records on rotation, and that's a big mistake because the BBC of all people can do something different. They can do a lot better than that. Mm. But they seem to have fallen into that research niche at the moment. Hopefully they'll grow out of it. But as I say, we've got a good stations down where we are. Roger Day I never miss, and I'm just, it's such a tragedy that his Monday to Friday show was cancelled to make way for the dross that's on at the moment.
Adrian, just at the radio reunion last weekend. Now, since we made that package, a few more interviews from the event have emerged. So we're going to upload those later as a Radio Today programme special. But back to Tim Gibson. His company, Adventures in Radio, takes UK stations around the world to make live programmes. I asked Tim what kind of take-up he's getting.
Oh, I think it's getting bigger and more popular than ever, Trevor. When we first started this, it all came out of my interest in, you know, wanting to get radio shows to come from worldwide locations. Because, you know, interesting locations make interesting radio. But, of course, we were very much restricted by the cost of lines, satellite time and this kind of thing. But, you know, over the years, ISDN came in, and now, of course, we use broadband codecs. So, you know, the cost of doing these is negligible.
So do you help the radio stations themselves, the ones that are based in the UK, to put together the financial package as well as the technical package that enables these OBs to happen?
Well, no, I do everything. We do the whole thing. We find that because radio stations, and I'm talking all radio stations now, there are very few exceptions that radio stations have the ability and the knowledge and the time, you know, and the personnel, I can keep adding to that, to be able to, for example, set up a live broadcast from Arizona or Hawaii or Australia, all of which we do. So it's easier for them to come to us because all they need to do is get on a plane.
Give us an example of some of the projects that you've done recently.
We do Jamaica just about every year. We take stations to broadcast from Ocho Rios, Montego Bay. We don't invite stations to sit and look at a beach and a blue ocean. We take them to Bob Marley's house, you know, we get guests, and it makes good radio. So we don't have any editorial control, but we give them the information to do their radio shows their way.
And who are the organisations who fund you? Are these sort of tourist boards and, you know, people who want to pay you to popularise their destinations?
It can be anybody, Trevor, you know, because the first thing is flights, and flights are not easy. So you've got to work with airlines like British Airways, Virgin, Emirates. And then what we do is we ensure that we either buy the flights or do a deal with the airline. And, of course, we give vacation prizes to every station that joins us. So, for example, if they're broadcasting from Jamaica, there will always be a holiday for two people to Jamaica for them to give away as a vacation prize. So, yeah, to go back to your question about the funding, it can come from the airline if they want to promote a certain route. It can come from the tourist board, it can come from the agency in this country, it can come from a hotel group. We've just done, it was September, we did the Bahamas and we did Atlantis, which is a fabulous resort. And they went together with British Airways and the Bahamas Tourist Board. And we took out four stations to broadcast 5 days each of live broadcasts.
So does the initiative for these deals largely come from the advertiser, the sponsor, or are you in a position to take a phone call from a radio station that says, Tim, we really want to do a show from Nashville or from LA, can you help us?
Yeah, I mean, I get calls like that, of course, but generally speaking, a client will ask me to bring in radio stations from areas that they want to reach. So if I get an idea that there's going to be a live broadcast from, you know, we did Lapland before Christmas and that kind of thing, I will call the program controller as soon as I know. That can be 5 or 6 months in advance, and just warn them that something is coming up. Are they interested? And a lot of things, Trevor, they can sell the sponsorship themselves. So if I'm providing this service for them and they've got 4 or 5 months notice, they can then own the promotion, you know, they can sell the promotion and everything and sell it to a local car dealer or, you know, whoever wants to buy it.
Tim Gibson, we wish you well with that. Adventures in Radio. It's a big moment now because we're going to have the news from Roy Martin and we're going to introduce him for the very first time with something that says STAB.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor. Over 80% of new cars now have DAB as standard. The news comes from Ed Vasey, who says the future of radio is clearly digital. Still no switchover date set as yet, though. Capital Liverpool has launched on Merseyside with a massive marketing campaign advertising them as Liverpool's new hit music station following the closure of Juice FM. And the other Juice 107.2 in Brighton has appointed David Ellsbury as managing director. The station is now owned by UKRD. That's the very latest. For more like this, have a look at radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualization through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
It's 3:15. time for Listen with Mother.
66 years ago, Listen with Mother began, the first broadcast on the Light programme, and it always began with what was originally an ad-lib.
Are you sitting quite comfortably? Then I'll begin. Once upon a time, there was a little monkey.
When I'm building a programme, I always have in mind just a child or a couple of children in the intimate setting of the home, with or without mother, although we call the programme Listen with Mother, we find still that children believe that the storyteller is inside the box in some way, that this disembodied voice creates a very concrete and vivid image in the minds of the children.
Now let's hear the song about Mary, Mary, quite contrary.
The Listen with Mother Secrets, that programme began this week in 1950. For the BBC, rolling news on radio is a bit of a challenge given the various other content the networks have. And 25 years ago, there wasn't even a Five Live. So, when the first Gulf War happened, Radio 4 gave up its FM for rolling coverage.
Since then, it's been largely quiet. Some fighters have been seen circling the city. Now it's quiet again.
Well, that was Jonathan Burchell in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. Let's go to another part of Saudi Arabia, to Dhahran, where our defence correspondent, Mark Leighty, is now on the line. Mark, what news do you have from us, for us from Dhahran?
Well, we're still waiting.
Radio 4's News FM internally calls Scud FM, with rolling news on 4's FM frequency to cover that first Gulf War. A new early morning voice this week, 5 years ago, on Radio 2.
Good morning, lovely listener. Vanessa Feltz here. Absolutely thrilled to bits to be with you this morning. Let's start, as we mean to go on, with some heartfelt advice.
Keep young and beautiful. Vanessa Feltz joining Radio 2 this week in 2011, taking over Sarah Kennedy's old early morning show. It's now 11 years since commercial radio united for charity with Radio Aid.
Time now to cross over to Mr. Liam Gallagher. He's going to perform an acoustic track exclusively for Radio Aid. Here we go.
Chris Evans did a fabulous show, and Oasis came in and did great things on the day. It was the largest audience for a single programme in the history of radio in the UK. But I think it also said how powerful commercial radio can be when it can get together and get its act together.
Part of the 12-hour Radio Aid, raising funds for the Tsunami Cause this week in 2005. One of those commercial stations began this week 41 years ago.
We here in the East have our own radio station. A station that belongs to us. And to us alone.
Hello there, this is Steve Hamilton on Radio 4, bringing you the Daybreak Show, right through till 9:30. We're sitting at the top of the dial, on top of the world, on 194 metres in the medium wave band. 96.8 VHF in super stereo. We'll be bringing you news, traffic, weather, community information, food prices, tips and hints, and our housewife of the day.
We really should track down some of those housewives of the day from back then. The launch of Radio 4 in Edinburgh this week in 1975. This week, 65 years ago, the first English programmes on Radio Luxembourg were heard on its famous 208 wavelength.
They were very happy days, and I'm always grateful to Geoffrey Everett, who was the other disc jockey there at the time. When I first went in, it was always the accepted thing, certainly at the BBC, and it was until the BBC, until about 6 years ago, to have a script for a record programme. And I thought, well, I'll never be able to ad-lib. And Geoffrey Everett said to me, if you don't ad-lib now, if you work with a script now, you'll never be able to ad-lib, and that way you'll never be a broadcaster. And I think that was the soundest piece of advice I was ever given.
Pete Murray speaking about his arrival at Radio Luxembourg on 208 this week in 1951. This week in 1966, the Radio Caroline ship, the Mi Amigo, lost her anchor in a Force 8 storm. They had to change ships for a few months, eventually returning to the Mi Amigo. And just before that return, some familiar voices communicated on air from ship to ship.
Hello, Tony.
Hello, Dave. Hiya.
You're looking fine this morning through the Met.
Oh, we're missing you a lot, but look forward to you kind of joining us here on the Mi Amigo very shortly.
Well, we're looking forward to coming over there. We're working really hard down here, I assure you. Everybody's sat up all night with tapes and things, you know, but we'll manage, don't worry.
Can we just mention that we're testing on 259 again? Right then. Well, everyone, listening to 199 at the moment, we hope that perhaps you'll tune over and listen to us here, because we're tuning. This is Caroline South on 259. We're testing here throughout the day.
the Pirates swapping ships with DLT and Tony Blackburn in 1966. So with BBC CWR launching this week in 1990...
The Carpenters and We've Only Just Begun on BBC CWR.
BBC Cornwall and Devon beginning 33 years ago.
Devon County Radio is about to begin its very first programme.
Yes, there it is, a piece of music which we hope you'll be getting to know pretty well in the months ahead. The Radio Cornwall main theme.
Programmes for schools beginning 89 years ago.
Good morning, children. Will you scatter yourselves over the whole room so that each one of you has plenty of space for movement?
The Last Saturday Club with Brian Matthew, 47 years ago.
Back to the show come Britain's brightest and best new beat group.
Chris Evans hosting his last Radio 1 breakfast 19 years ago.
He'd asked the BBC management to have every Friday off, but it refused and he resigned.
And Talk Radio UK becoming Talk Sport 16 years ago.
This is Talk Radio UK.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd. Also this week, Tim Gibson, Roy Martin, Shel Zenner and London VoiceOver for the new ads. And of course, you for listening. We'll get those Radio Reunion extras up as soon as we can. Watch out for those. And we'll see you next time for the regular podcast. Ta-da!
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.